This is the Daily Ebola Update from VOA Africa.
This is Jackson Vunganyi with the roundup of important events and information about the Ebola crisis from Africa, the U.S., and the world. The World Health Organization says the Ebola infection rate continues to drop in West Africa. 7 cases were reported in Guinea and only 2 in Sierra Leone. The total is the lowest in 5 months. Liberia was declared Ebola-free last Saturday. WHO Assistant Director General Dr. Marie Pauli Kini says there's no doubt the health emergency in West Africa is moving towards 0 new cases. However, she says the drop in infections will probably result in insufficient data on whether 2 Ebola vaccine trials are effective. In other Ebola news, a health worker in Rome is in stable condition after an Ebola diagnosis. The worker flew from Freetown on May 7th. Since the patient did not experience symptoms until 72 hours after arriving in Italy, the World Health Organization says it's not necessary to conduct contact tracing of individuals who were on the same plane as the worker. There is some good news in the Ebola front. One country, Liberia, has been declared Ebola-free by the World Health Organization. The deadly virus has claimed over 11,000 lives across the region since last year. But as families and communities witness their loved ones lose their lives to Ebola, others have been fortunate enough to survive this disease that continues to pose a challenge to the medical community. But for some survivors, the pain and aches continue through post-Ebola syndrome. VOA's health reporter Linor Mudu spoke to Dr. Margaret Harris of the WHO from her offices in Geneva.
We now have thousands and thousands of people who have survived this disease, which of course is great news. But it's not over. Mm-hmm. Initially, most of the knowledge we had about Ebola was that it was a disease that essentially made you sick for 7 days and you either lived or you died. Well, this is not so. Mm-hmm. For a percentage of people, this disease continues, and this is something very, very important. Back in September, we, the WHO, recognized when we were working with a group of survivors in Kenema in eastern Sierra Leone, we had a wonderful young doctor, Maggie Nanyonga, from Uganda, who started to work for survivors, mostly really to support them because they were suffering enormous stigmatization mm-hmm. and suffering enormous psychosocial problems. So that was what she initially went there to try to understand and manage. But it soon became clear to Maggie that there was physical consequences of Ebola and people were remaining sick mm-hmm. and that for some people this was a chronic illness. So Maggie went to each survivor and asked them and looked at them because she's a young doctor herself, and she assessed their symptoms. And she found that in this group, now this is not the case in every group, but in that particular group, she found that 50% of them had serious eye problems. And she understood that for someone that has recovered from something as horrific as Ebola, then having lost their vision meant that they were being hit twice. First of all, they had this terrible disease. Second of all, they were left with severe visual loss, so severe that for some they were blind. Mm-hmm. And so she alerted us in WA. You know, she alerted me. I was actually working with her at the time. And other people within WHO and said, this is something we have to deal with now. So we brought in the experts and we have been following the survivors, and we now have an ongoing project mm-hmm. to look at how we can care for survivors. And we have found that that eye problems are a serious problem. Some have also got serious hearing problems. Mm-hmm. Some have got problems with joint pains that haven't gone away or have started, say, a month after they've recovered, or they've recovered from what we call the acute phase. And some have got real problems walking because their muscles have been wasted during the acute phase. So there are certainly very serious after effects. And a lot of our work now is focusing on looking after people who've survived Ebola and understanding what's going on. We now know a great deal more about this disease, but it is still tricking us. It's still providing us with mysteries and surprises. So we've pulled in all the best scientific minds, and we're working together to try to understand what is going on with Ebola and what are the best treatments, because people now have this chronic problem, this post-Ebola syndrome, that we need to do more to manage.
For those of you joining us late, we are discussing surviving Ebola, and our guest is Dr. Margaret Harris. She's a spokesperson of WHO's Ebola unit. Dr. Harris, thank you so much for joining us again. Let's talk.
We were
talking about some of the aftermath in terms of the health consequences on patients. Now, one of the things that I was wondering is Ebola has been discovered in 76 in the DRC, and then there have been some outbreaks, I believe, a little less than 30 outbreaks. Maybe we have, like, this is the 27th, if I'm not mistaken. What have we observed with past survivors that, obviously, this outbreak is in West Africa, which did not necessarily happen to this extent, at least. What have we observed in terms of the survivors in the Central Africa region? Is it is it the type of strain that is causing these health repercussion, or is it something that was observed in the past in terms of the eye problem and all the other symptoms that you describe?
That's a very good question. Now, previous outbreaks, including the Kikwit outbreak you refer to, there were some reports of post-Ebola syndrome. So there were some reports of people having after effects. Unfortunately, these were not followed up. So we do not know what happened to the people who suffered those effects. We do not know if they're recovered. We do not know if they then remained with these effects and spent the rest of their lives with them. Unfortunately, at that time, WHO was not hugely involved in those outbreaks. To an extent, we might have been involved in helping with the coordination. But until this really big outbreak, we weren't really involved strongly in what we call the clinical care. And the clinical care is the treatment of people. So traditionally, they were done by partners who were people who managed hospitals or who managed the care, you know, different non-governmental institutions who were expert in care would have provided that. But because this outbreak was so huge, we became very much more involved in organizing clinical care and bringing in experts who were involved in the clinical care. And for that reason, we brought in some of our own people and they began working with survivors. And that's when we realized that this was a serious and ongoing problem that we need to take to pay attention to and to devote some of our resources to, because it's bad enough to have suffered this really lethal, this terrible disease, which causes enormous physical pain and suffering while you're ill, and then to find that you have these ongoing secondary effects. And, of course, as you know, the World Health Organization's mandate is to ensure that every human being has achieved the highest standard of health. So for us, it's extremely important that first of all, everybody who possibly can survive, but secondly, those who survive can survive with the very best standard of health. So this is a very important area of work for us now.
And that was the Ebola update from VOA Africa. I'm Jackson Vunganyi.
For all the latest information on the Ebola crisis, listen to the news on VOA Africa 24 hours a day, or tune into our special Ebola updates Monday to Saturday. You can also visit our website at www.voanews.com. For mobile users, the website is ebola.voanews.com.